At this time,
I would like to welcome Judith C. That's okay. Judith C. to the mic for this particular workshop.
Hi, family. I'm Judith, and I'm an addict. And I just thank God for another day clean. I always get excited when it comes time to come to the CPRCNA convention because right now my lifestyle is so busy, and I'm always doing a whole bunch of things for a whole bunch of somebody else's. So this is the weekend, if no other weekend, of the year that I take time out for me to revitalize myself, to regenerate myself, to gird myself up so that when I go back out there in the world, I'm fortified. You know, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions stay before me, but this is a time to enhance it. This is a time to celebrate. You know, so many of us in this room, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, we wouldn't be here. Because we're not God, we can't say that we would be dead, but we do know that we would be, you know, in jails, some kind of a mental institution, or dead. We know that. We know that. And so many didn't make it. But aren't you glad that we're some of the ones that did? Aren't you glad that God in His grace and mercy picked us up, dusted our rusty butts off, and started us on a new path? The dawn of a new reality. The first reality was that I was an addict and couldn't stop, even when I wanted to. But the dawn of a new reality tells me today that I don't have to get high, even when I want to. What a contrast. Where but in Narcotics Anonymous. And not only do I appreciate getting away every year at this time, but this most of the times my birthday falls somewhere around a convention. So again, I thank God for another year because tomorrow is my birthday. Yes. So I get, I'm 30 and counting. Thank you very much. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. So not only do I get to be clean in a convention, but I get to kick a message of hope today to somebody. You know, and I didn't even think that I would be speaking, but they told me that anytime, anywhere, an addict asks another addict to share in any capacity, that I need to be willing to do that. I need to be willing to pour back into somebody else's life the way it was so freely poured into mine. So I'm here today to report to you that my clean day is December 13th, 1996. So if I keep doing what I'm doing this December, I will be celebrating 18 years clean. Yeah, clean. And on my way daily out of the bondage of addiction. Although clean, still many things bind me. Why? Because it's a process, not an event. It doesn't happen overnight, but it can and will happen over time if I'm simply willing to do the work. So the last time I came into these rooms, you know, my last time trying this, December 13, 1996, I flew into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I flew in here on a TWA, a thoroughly whipped ass. And I do mean thoroughly whipped. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of me. Caught up in the grip. Stuck on stupid. Couldn't make it up out the bathroom. Couldn't take my eyes away from the peephole after taking a hit. Because I just knew somebody was out there coming to get me. A constant state of paranoia, this disease. Constant. Crying out to the God of my understanding. Knowing He could and would get me clean again, but not knowing how long it would take. Because I first started this journey seriously back in 92, 93. Thought I would never take another hit again. But somehow at 22 months clean, I found that pipe back in my hand. And I didn't know what had happened. In retrospect, I'll tell you some things that happened. My recovery lost its priority. I took back a boyfriend that was smoking crack. Hello. Hello. I had a drunken boyfriend who told me he had cancer and he was going to die. And y'all had taught me in NA that you never let them die alone. So I thought, this is my thinking. I mean, I went up in my head without adult supervision. So my thinking was that although I knew that I wasn't well enough, you know, to be there with him, I thought that I can be there with him long enough to go through his last phases of cancer, you know, to tuck him into his grave and get along with my recovery. Because a year ago, his sister had been diagnosed with cancer, and 4 months later, she died. So I said, oh, okay, well, 4 months later, he'll die. My thinking would have been my head without adult supervision. Well, the trip part is that man never even died. Never even died. But as a result, I relapsed. And I remember crying out to God, you know, God, why'd you let me get high again? You knew my heart. Why'd you let me get high? And even in the midst of getting high, God was able to tell me why I had picked up. Because I put this man's disease of cancer as a priority over my disease of addiction. So I determined right then, when I made it back, because I believed I would make it back, because I knew that the same God that had given me 22 months was able to get me clean again. And I made a determination when I made it back, that come hell or high water, I was going to make my own recovery my priority. So on that blessed day, December 13, 1996, I set out to make my own recovery my priority. And I wanted something different. So I knew I had to do something different. So I got a sponsor again. But this time she wasn't just in name only. This time she was someone who I was willing to submit to and let guide me through the 12 steps of the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. Now what this meant was that I had to be willing to do the things that she suggested, whether I wanted to or not, whether it made sense or not. If I knew in my heart to heart, if I was willing to bet money that my way was the better way, still, I had to be willing to do it somebody else's way. I had to be willing to be guided. That was indicative of the fact that I really did want this thing, because the gift of submission had kicked in. Not doing the things that I agreed with, because that was easy, but doing the things that she told me to do that I didn't agree to, the things that didn't make sense. I mean, let's face it, all of the spiritual ironies in this program, a lot of stuff doesn't make sense anyway. One of my favorite examples is that when I was out there using, you know, like we say in recovery that the more you give, you know, the more you'll get. Well, that wasn't the way it was when I was out there getting high. I mean, the more drugs I would give you, the less I would have. So I wasn't trying to give a whole bunch of people a whole bunch of things. But now in recovery, the more I give you, you know, the more I have. And the only way to keep it is to give it away. If I try to hold on to some things, I lose it. If I give it out, then I'll get it back. Spiritual ironies just don't make sense. You know, and so I'm grateful to be on this path, on this journey. I'm grateful to be guided through the steps and the 12 traditions. And my piece is on, you know, traditions 9 and 10. And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. But just a little bit about my journey. I was born in Philadelphia. And I did what we call a geographic cure. Once I was in Philadelphia, then I moved to New Jersey. And I had a family who didn't understand the nature of the addiction. They just thought I was getting high because I was trifling and I wanted to. They didn't know that, although I was trifling, they didn't know that I wanted to stop but couldn't. Because see, when my dad was my dad was an alcoholic, but we didn't know that term back then. We just called him an old sloppy drunk. And the family said, oh, he's just getting drunk because he wants to. He can stop if he wants to. So years later, when I got hooked on drugs, that same train of thought permeated into my life. And they were like, oh, she's just getting high because she wants to. She can stop if she wants to. And although I had made that conscious choice, it was me who made that conscious choice to even begin tampering with drugs. I too thought that the power to stop and the ability to stop rest on me. But it was when I really, really, really went one time to put my bad foot down and really stop, and I couldn't, that I said, wow, you mean to tell me that this little, you know, this little substance has dominion and authority over me? You know, I didn't understand the concept of powerlessness. I didn't know how I could one day walk into a crack house and be a user and walk out an addict because the line is so thin, it's invisible. I didn't know any of that because you couldn't tell me anything. I graduated from college with honors and I knew it all. You couldn't tell me anything. But it was just a matter of time before I realized I didn't know anything at all. And I wanted recovery so bad. Left a daughter in New Jersey. Kept saying I was going to come back to get her. You know, Christmas time would come. How many can relate to putting toys and gifts on layaway at the Kmart? But then when the money ran out on payday, I would go to the Kmart, grab all of her toys and shit off of layaway, promising that I would restore those layaway items the next payday. But then couldn't make it back to the Kmart. So now I'm here's Christmas. And here's a little girl in Jersey waiting for her mom to show up with some toys, especially a basketball. And I couldn't go. I couldn't make it. And I couldn't even call home. Matter of fact, I would pick up the phone to call home to New Jersey. But when they picked up the phone on the other end, and I could hear all of the gaiety and the laughter on the other side of the phone, I hung up that phone because I was too ashamed to say I can't make it because I'm hooked on drugs. And there's too many train stations, there's too many hen houses in between here and the train station to make it. Caught up in the grip and couldn't get out. And so it hurt me. That's one of the things that hurt me the worst of all when I was in my addiction. The fact that I left all that love lying around. A daughter who already didn't have a dad, and now here she doesn't have a mother. Justifying that she wasn't abandoned because I left her with my sisters and my mother. But the reality is, she was abandoned. And so all the hurt and the pain and the guilt and the shame, I had to bring all of that, not into my future, I brought it into my step work. And the things that God was revealing was only because he intended on healing. So I began healing in all of those areas. I began forgiving myself even before my daughter forgave me. I began forgiving myself even when the family still wanted to call me the black sheep of the family. I began not being willing to let people hold me hostage to my past. I began willing to say, yes, I was that type of girl, but I'm not that type of girl today. I'm in a new way of life. I'm at the dawn of a new reality. I got some steps, you know, that's operating in my life. I got some traditions that's operating in my life today and refusing to let people hold me hostage to my past. So this gave me the freedom to go forward and to work the steps and to work the 12 traditions with a network and with a sponsor. And this ninth tradition talks about N.A., as such, would never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees direct and responsible to those we serve. And a perfect example of this is this regional convention. You know, all of the people stepping up to the plate, ain't nobody paying me to do anything. Nobody's paying all of the different, you know, committee heads. We're getting paid, you know, as a way to give back. But as far as monetary, and although it has to be some organization, there has to be some structure. There has to be some rules and regulations. We have to know no cell phone use, taking pictures, holding seats, standing in the aisle, sitting on the floor, no speaking to the press. All of these things, you know, carrying a clear Narcotics Anonymous message. Although there are guidelines and although there's some structure, it's a difference in being organized as far as really having quote-unquote designated leaders. It's very dangerous to put an addict solely in charge of something. Very dangerous. That's why when we go and we talk about that third, you know, tradition, there's, but, you know, when we talk about that, you know, the second one, when it says for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, not a loving Kim, Sue, Bob, or Judy. We're going to do a whole bunch of shit in the name of love, and it'll be nothing but masked up control issues. All right, so for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. That's why we say, thank God. You know. So what we're talking about here, and it's non-tradition, we're talking about that although there is some organization that's mandatory, some structure that's mandatory, that we all work under the helm of this ultimate authority, and we're just trusted servants. Okay? We're leaders in a practical sense, but we're more servants and less leaders. You know, and that is what allows us to flow the way that we flow. But the committees are directly responsible for those that we serve. And then we're talking about in tradition 10, we're talking about that NA has no opinions on outside issues. Hence the NA name ought never be drawn in public controversy. I love that whole tradition, but just to hit on that first part, that NA has no opinion on outside issues. That's very important. Not only is that tradition in place so that we keep the primary focus staying clean and helping another addict to achieve, you know, this recovery that we already have, but it would also cause division. It would also cause division. If you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, then that's already a place where we could, you know, constantly, you know, get some kind of division. But by being a united front, by having no opinion on outside issues, you know, either being, you know, pro, you know, abortion or against abortion. You know, we don't have any, you know, NA as a whole has no opinion. You know, so the group NA has no opinion. You'll never see an NA commercial where they're saying a woman has a right to have an abortion or a woman doesn't have a right. You know, vote this way, vote that way. So not only does the whole, you know, the national organization of NA have any opinion, we learn here in these rooms that we don't have opinion either. We realize that regardless of what your race, creed, religion, you know, sexual orientation, no matter what you're doing, you could be a janitor, you could be a president or CEO of a company. We're all the same. You know, there are no big I's and no little U's in here. And that's one of the reasons why this tradition is put in place, to just keep it real simple, you know, to make it real plain that we are one, we are a united front, and we don't let things like that divert us from our primary purpose. And also, when it says that NA name would never be drawn in public controversy, nor do we bring it up. NA doesn't take a stand, but nor do we bring it up. It just has no place, you know, in that. Because if we get caught up, and you know, as addicts, we love to get caught up, and we can get caught up in a whole bunch of public controversy and drama, we'll forget that we're here. Or we might decide to take a hit along the way. You know? So it's real important. So what these traditions do, it keeps us focused on the main thing. And the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? The main thing is staying clean. The main thing is remembering the message. You know, the message of hope and the promise of freedom. Remembering what it says in our basic text when it talks about any addict. And when we talk about any addict, we're talking about any addict black, any addict white, any addict gay, any addict straight, any addict fat, any addict thin, any addict rich, any addict poor, any addict can stop using drugs, can lose the desire to use, and can find a new way to live. That's our primary purpose, to stay focused on the message so that we can go about the task healing on our own. So one of my favorite mentors made a statement the other day. He said there's two valuable things in life. He said one of them is two valuable things. He said one of them is the day you were born, and then he said the second one was, you know, the day when you realize why you were born. I like that, but for me, for an addict coming from where I came, I modified that a little bit. So yes, the first day was the day that I was born, but the second day wasn't so much, realizing why I was born. For me, is realizing why I didn't die. I know today why I didn't die at that crack day. And it wasn't even about me. It wasn't even because it was God's intent to just have me here sucking up air, taking up space. The reason I didn't die was because God trusted He could use that formerly broken vessel, shape it up, make it a viable tool, make it whole again, so that he could use this one vessel to turn around and impact hundreds of thousands of other lives along the way. That's why I didn't die. And that sense of purpose is so humbling, because you're looking at a person who was just filled with shame, you know, and thought it was all about me. Just had all kind of pity parties, you know. But today, to know that I was born for a purpose, but the reason I didn't die was because of a purpose. That even though I did all kind of self-destructive things to myself, although I set myself up to die, God said you will live and not die, and you will declare my word. So my sense of purpose allows me to be very humble as I go forward with what I have. The clean time, you know, doesn't mean anything if I'm not able to use it to help someone else. And so naturally in the rooms, I started out, you know, doing a lot of work with addicts, and I still do. But God has taught me how to put the recovery show on the road, even outside of these rooms. There's a lot of people hurting outside of these rooms that don't even have the tools that we have. So I know today that the person that God puts in front of me is the one to help. I can't wake up in the morning and pray and say, oh God, you know, help me to be there for other people today. And then someone come in my life, you know, needing some help. And then I just brush them off and say, oh, let me go pray about it. No, I've already prayed. Okay, that person is the answer prayer. And as I come here, my prayers have changed. It used to be, God, please put somebody in front of me today that I can help. And because God's so faithful, now my prayers, it's a praise in advance. It's God, thank you for the person that you're going to put before me today that I can help. That's what it's about. It's about helping others. And as I'm incorporating these steps and as I'm incorporating these traditions in my life, it still requires balance. It still requires balance. Even with having a sense of purpose, knowing why I didn't die, knowing why I was born, and being grateful for the fact that I was born, it still requires a balance. And one of the things that I struggle with, one of the greatest challenges that I have, even as we speak, coming up on 18, is making sure that I don't spend so much time loving you that I lose me. Very important. I'm now the leader in the nonprofit sector. We do a lot of work with kids. We provide backpacks filled with food for over 1,600 kids a week to make sure that they don't go hungry over the weekend. Kids that would normally get their free meals Monday through Friday. You know, very admirable work, very, very noble work. But I have to make sure with the codependency that's still inside of me, that I arrest that to the fact that I'm not so busy doing things for others that I forget to take care of myself. I got to make sure I'm not so selfless that I neglect myself. And there have been times when I've run right past this treadmill that I got plopped right up in front, right in my bedroom. And there have been times when I've run past that treadmill and the lie that I've told myself is, oh, I overslept. So I don't have time to get up on the treadmill for 15 minutes for myself, yet be willing to go out there and do a work for the community and for God for 15 hours. Mm. Something is wrong with that picture. Because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Greater is she that conquers herself than she who conquers a city. And God is simply more interested in me conquering myself, my eating, my diet, my exercise, the clutter in my house, in my car, in my room. Don't y'all put me out there like that. I know somebody got some clutter in their house and in their room. I follow you to your car if you want to sit up there getting up in some denial. God is more concerned with me conquering the clutter in my life than he is with me going and adding an extra 50 kids to the program. The food program. Why? Because it's all about balance. It's all about loving you and loving me. It's not all about me, but it's about me too. And that's as I grow and just want so bad and have this zeal to give back, I gotta make sure that I'm doing the nurturing and the caring and the loving for myself first. So that I will have the fortitude. So that I will have the strength to go the distance that I know that I can go. And it all comes back to be rooted and grounded in these programs. The steps are in line for order. The steps protect me from me, and the traditions protect me from y'all.
Yeah.
You know, so everything is in order. I'm so grateful for recovery. I'm so grateful to be here on the beach. We're all here for the same purpose. We were all on a sinking ship. All thought we were going to die, wanted to die. Our families had written us off as dead. But look at us. The epitome of life. The sparkle in the eye. The glow about our future. We know the criticality of giving back. We know the criticality of knowing that there is a purpose. That our goal, as outlined in the basic text, is to be of maximum service. And the only way we can be of maximum service is working the steps and working traditions like 9 and 10. If I'm not willing to work all of the traditions and all of the steps, I'm just half-stepping. And I'm not willing to just be clean. I want all that this recovery program has to offer. Family, have a flat-out ball this weekend. I will see you at the top. Thank you for letting me share.